we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. Pray that you are having a great week and that you are staying warm. I heard recently that this is the coldest week of the entire year traditionally. And so, you know, do make sure that you go out layered up. That's a term that you hear more up north than you do down here in the south. So if you're not familiar with that principle, you could need the heater of a morning. You could need the air conditioner of an afternoon. Not quite going to reach those temperatures, I don't think, today. But last week, you could have. And so you layer up so that you can stay warm of a morning, and then you can take off your jacket and your sweater and still be professionally attired for whatever you've got coming throughout the day. So if you are having problems with your temperature in your home, the fine folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 632-9538, 321, 632-9538. They can come to wherever you are in the county, from the southernmost portion to the northernmost tip. They can take care of air conditioning needs, heater needs, electrical issues, whatever you might need in those three areas. They can handle just about any system. They've done new unit installs, old unit repairs. They've done electrical installations. They are professionals in every category. And so if you could use their assistance, I'll give you their phone number one more time. It is 321-632-9538. And just a bonus time, 321-632-9538. One more thing I would say to you, because I heard a statistic that the winter time is when more house fires take place than any other time during the year. And so if you are using a space heater, make sure that you are putting safety precautions in place, that you do not have that space heater anywhere near bedding or flammable objects that could get overheated and catch on fire. So with that being said, we are going to turn our attention back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 today. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness, and we are specifically talking about the faithfulness of God's Word at this point in time. Chapter 3 of 1 Timothy happens to involve a man desiring the office of a bishop. And, you know, yesterday on that broadcast, I wanted to share with you some of the realities of being a pastor or in the Assemblies of God, we would call them presbyters, the Church of God, they would call them bishops. Other fellowships would call them bishops as well. If you desire a position like that, let's just get into the reading and I'll share with you. I don't want to discourage people who feel called into the ministry. What I want to do is provide a realistic picture, because, you know, there's always the old joke, oh, I wish I had the job of being a pastor. They only work one day a week, and then I only work a half day on that day. You know, that everybody sees what you do on the platform. They do not see what all goes behind the scenarios. And so last week when I was up in Jacksonville teaching our district school of ministry, I was trying to inform them and let them know of some of the challenges that they may face as they are involved in ministry, things that you might not understand, payroll taxes and you know, insurance and hurricane insurance, property management. This week we dealt with replacing a door closure. Never done that before. So there's a lot of mundane things that go along. But please do not take those realities and say, you know what, I don't ever want to have a part of that. You know, I do want to tell you, you don't go into it for the wrong reason. You've got to go into it for the right reason. And the right reason is to connect hurting and dying people with a loving and living Savior. That's why you do go into the ministry. It's not for the pay or anything like that. We had a man, I've told you this story before, at some of our work days, he came from a country that was extremely unionized. And so as we were having this volunteer work day, he said, Pastor, I need to speak to you about the pay. And I said, well, you know, in all honesty, the pay is not much, but the benefits are out of this world. And you don't want to miss the benefits. If whatever God has called you to do, that is the place that you want to be. That is going to be where your protection is, where your anointing is. That's where the favor is going to be. And you don't want to make the mistake of Korah and his followers, as they did with Moses, and fail to appreciate where God has placed you, and you are striving to get where someone else, where God has anointed someone else to be. Serve where God opens the door, serve with everything that you have within you, and you are going to find that that is a great and glorious place to be. So, I pray that there are a lot of pastors and ministers that are raised up and encouraged, because of Merit Assembly of God, our ministry, and the Refresh Radio program. I pray that it takes place, with a great frequency. I don't want to be turning people away from that. I just want you to have a realistic picture. The Bible tells you to count the cost. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So last week we talked about the position of bishop, a good work that a bishop must be. It's not optional, must be blameless, have the husband of one wife. They must be temperate and sober-minded. Those two words are very similar in relationship. You're not supposed to be hot-headed. You're not supposed to be unstable. You're supposed to know how to govern your thought life, okay? Of good behavior. That's not just a person who knows what the right thing to do is. That is a person whose behavior and their confession line up. And then the second thing is hospitable, and that is you've got to know how to be receiving of people, how to treat people. And so those are things that we have talked about previously. Now today let's resume where we left off, and that's at the end of verse number 2, and that is able to teach. Able to teach. Now, before you are able to teach, you must first be able to learn. You've got to be a good student before you can be a good teacher. The Holy Spirit is assigned the task of guiding us into all truth. I can tell you that I am still learning. As I was preparing for the radio broadcast, I learned things just here recently. You know, the very first year that I was in the radio program, this program is not just a repeat of, a sermon series that I do. Sometimes, what I am preaching on ends up coming into a radio broadcast. Sometimes some of the things that I'm doing for the radio, I end up taking to the pulpit. They're not exclusive of one another, but all of that is dependent upon the leading of the Lord. So I'm still learning. I'm still coming to a fuller understanding of the truth. That doesn't mean that I'm negligent in my past. It just means that it's going to take God forever to reveal himself to us. But you do, once you have learned something, you are assigned the responsibility to be able to pass that along to other people in a manner in which they are going to understand it. Many times, teachers have the incorrect mindset that if they just throw the topic out there, if they just discuss it, that they have done their job. One of the teachers that I had when I was growing up, I compare two. One was I was in a class that I was not technically qualified to be in. I was supposed to have a prerequisite math class, geometry, before I went into this trigonometry and analytics class. I went into trigonometry without having any understanding of geometry at all. But I had a phenomenal teacher, and I ended up passing that class with straight A's. The next year, though, they didn't let me go on. They made me go back and take geometry again. And the teacher that I had actually written the textbook. And I want you to know that I struggled and I struggled and I struggled with that class. It wasn't that I wasn't applying myself. It wasn't that the teacher did not know the information. He had written the textbook for Pete's sake. It was just such a stark contrast where the one teacher was extremely personable and engaged her class. The other teacher sat up there and just gave the information. He knew it like the back of his hand, but he did not possess the same expertise in communicating the information in a manner in which the students could grasp it. I got A's in that class anyway, but boy, did I really have to work hard for it. My job, my responsibility, my privilege as a preacher is to communicate the information from the Word of God, the living Word of God, the powerful Word of God, the impacting Word of God, in such a manner that you will be able to receive it and apply it and go out and put it into practice, and then you pass it on to other people as well. So if you struggle in the area of communication, you need to work on that, because everybody has something to teach. Everyone has something that you can communicate on to another person that is going to help them to be successful. You and I are privileged to be able to have the Word of God at our availability. But let's not just make sure we have the book on the shelf. Let's be of the mindset that says, you know what, I am going to study that to show myself a workman that needs not be ashamed, but that I'm approved. We also need to pray about the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. The Word of God is spirit and is spiritually discerned. And so make sure that you come to the Word of God from a spiritual perspective, and then allow the Spirit to guide that word to where it impacts your physical being as well as your mental and your emotional makeup as well. I pray that all of us would have the ability to teach. A book that I have on my desk that I've started reading, it took me a long time to finally say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of making an excuse for not getting that book. I'm going to get that book. And it is a book called The Seven Laws of the Learner. It's an older book. It's not going to show up on the bestseller list. The Seven Laws of the Learner, and it is written by Bruce Wilkinson. And I would just encourage you to look into that so that you can see that our job as teachers is not done until there's a person or a group of people that have grasped the lesson. It's not just a communication of information. It is an impartation of spiritual truth. So if you are going to be in the ministry, you need to be able to teach. You need to be able to preach and to communicate. So That's a mandatory. It also goes on into verse number 3, and it says, not given to wine. Not given to wine. Now, we live in a society where alcohol is so pervasive that there is some portions of the body of Christ that want to say, you know what, we'll just go ahead and welcome that. And, you know, I've heard horrible, in my opinion, okay, this is Bob, I've heard of some horrible marketing strategies for church growth where the pastor has said, hey, if you visit our church, we'll give you free beer. That's not the way that I want to grow my church. Let me tell you why. I've had this conversation with a friend of mine who came, you know, who knows people who've had a familiarity with the background, and his conclusion is this: alcohol has nothing good to add to my life. It can only take things away from my life. Why would I want to do that? You know, I don't know of anybody whose mugshot has ever popped up on the screen and they said this person was arrested for driving sober. You know, it just has a I'm supposed to be sober-minded. I'm supposed to be in charge of my mental faculties. So let me take you to a verse this morning. I've mentioned this verse before, but let me just take you back there today, and that is to Proverbs and the 20th chapter, Proverbs chapter 20, and in verse number 1 says this: wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. I remember I was doing the radio program the first time I remember that verse ever being highlighted to me. Another version says that it is, this is the NIV. What it says: wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler, whoever is led astray by them is not wise. What you need to understand is that in biblical times, purified water was pretty hard to come by. And I'm not a master of the fermentation process, but it's basically, you know, from what I understand, you throw some stuff in a container, you bottle it up, and you let the decaying process take place. And the effect upon that is if you partake too much of it, it impairs your thinking ability. So if wine is something, a device that is going to be used by the enemy in order to make a mockery of my life and my testimony and my health, it'll have an impact on your marriage, have an impact on your job career, on your reputation. There's nothing good that it has. There isn't a good reason for it. You say, well, I'm just a social drinker. Well, I tell you what, why don't you change society instead of caving into society? It's just something that I want to throw out there. You see, I literally knew a lady, she's passed away. This was decades ago. She had come from an alcoholic background. She got saved. She became a glorious, glorious believer. But by the time she became a Christian, alcohol had literally destroyed her body, and it ended up killing her, even though she was a living believer for a number of years. But it was because of that excess. Here's the thing that it makes a mockery about it. I've literally had conversations with people who said, oh, I'm in control of that. I had a person that told me, they said, if I go to a bar, if I have 13 beers, if you ask me if I'm drunk, I'm still going to tell you no. I'm in control of that. They had an a number of DUIs that was evidence to the contrary. I don't want you to become a casualty. You see, preachers have become a casualty. Ministries have become a casualty because wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler. And so you and I, we should not be given to that. We should be given. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to. I want the Holy Spirit to have the ability and the right to control my thought life. I don't want my thought life compromised by any other substance. I've known people who threatened to kill other people while they were intoxicated. That's not of God. I know people who have compromised themselves in ways that I'm not going to mention here on the radio because of the influence of alcohol in their life. I know people whose jobs were affected. I know people whose ministries were affected. It's not theoretical to me. By the time I got into the ministry, I had already seen so much devastation from this one particular weapon in the devil's arsenal that I don't want to have anything to do with it. And so as society pushes for compromise in that, you would need to show me a really good reason why. And seeing how I have never seen one yet, I'm going to stick with the Word of God here if it's okay. And that is, I'm not going to be given to that. Verse 3 continues, not violent. There is only one area in which the people of God should be known for violence, and that is from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This last weekend, there was a false alarm in Hawaii, and it indicated that there was an incoming intercontinental ballistic missile. So as I got up to church on Sunday, I said, you know what? Today, let's make it today, make this the day that there is not a false alarm in hell that says that the people of God have launched an assault on the kingdom of darkness. Let's not there. You see, I want to be advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so anger will not accomplish a righteous goal. You and I are not supposed to be assaulting and abusing other individuals that Jesus died to save. So I want to encourage you to operate in the spirit of self-control. Don't be a violent, angry person. You know what I've discovered? People don't like to be around violent, angry people. When violent and angry people start making their presence known, people start looking for a safe place. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have moments where frustration is going to rise up, but those frustrating episode should be becoming less and less and less as the fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest in us. For God has not given you a spirit of love, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we need to know how to treat one another. So I pray that you will not be a violent person. The next part of this faithful saying is not greedy for money. Not greedy for money. Now, this doesn't mean that it's not encouraging you to have money. It's not saying that you shouldn't have a desire to make a lot of money. What it is saying is do not let money become your idol. The New Testament defines greed as idolatry. Okay? Greed says you never, ever have enough to be able to let go of any of it. Here's the way that you know if you have control of something or if something has control of you. Can you let it go? Can you let it go? Or when you open up your hand, does it suddenly say, you know what, you might have let go of me, but I haven't let go of you. The only the only thing that you ever should have in your life that that never lets you go is God. He should have you firmly in his grasp, and you shouldn't have any desire to let go of his. So I've known a lot of people who have had greed as a stronghold in their life. And here's the statement that I want to let you know about. Some of them didn't have any money. Some of them were on the lower end of the socioeconomic scale, but they had such a stronghold in their area of finances that they couldn't give. They refused to honor God with their finances and with their wealth. And so don't be greedy for money and say, you know what, if somebody else has some, I've got to get a hold of it. No, instead, I want to encourage you to say, you know what, I want to honor the Lord with my finances. I want to honor him with the first fruits. I want to honor him so that other people can have the opportunity to hear the word of God as well. And so you and I, if we're going to be in the ministry, if we're going to be effective, whatever capacity God has given us, we've got to recognize that the Lord is Lord not just over our spiritual life, but over our financial life as well. God is still in the miracle sustaining business. And one more thing, it says, but gentle and not quarrelsome and not covetous. So these are somewhat repetitive of things that we already talked about. If you're not violent, learn how to be gentle. My thing is, it takes more strength to gently deal with an individual than it does to deal with them with brute force. It takes greater self-control and greater restraint. And so I want to encourage you, don't be looking for a fight with somebody. I tell you what, I hate quarreling. I hate fighting. I hate that sort of stuff. I would much rather walk with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace. That's where I'm at. And so I pray that our churches would be known places where people get along. People are there to hear from God and to be a spiritual blessing to those that are around them, and not a place where we are constantly saying, you know what, I want what you have tangibly. I want everything that God has for me spiritually. And so I think verse 3 is a pretty good goal today. If you get a chance, take a look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.